brother.
God,
what's up?
This is a groovy party, man.
Yeah, brother,
I dig it.
Solid. Right on.
Welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, it's almost November, man.
I mean, at this point, it doesn't really matter. It's already been cold for like the past 2 weeks.
It's over.
It's over. It's been over.
It's over now. That's no, that's a joke. It's over. Yeah, it's over, man. You know, they're talking about the weekend, 60 degrees, and I'm celebrating 60, man. 60 degrees, right? You and I both.
Yeah. Well, that's not going to last
no,
at all.
No, it's the weekend, man.
This is the shortest fall I've ever experienced.
All right. Good morning to the audience, listening audience. And I want to introduce my first guest, Ms. Lou Ann Bird. She is a candidate for the 84th Assembly District of the state of Wisconsin. Good morning to you, Ms. Bird. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Good morning, listeners. I am great.
See, kind of the difference between you and I and Ms. Lou Ann Bird is she is bubbly and just full of excitement all the time.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. You were, you're on Mark's show, and that's when I had first heard of your platform.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just said thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So
bird is the word. Have you heard about the bird? You know, that's where you got to start.
Yeah, I remember you told this really like great story about how you would converse with a Trump supporter, and you moved him over the aisle. So, or to support your campaign at least. So that was really inspiring.
So Connor.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Connor, you want to continue with the interview?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. It's just so cool because I'm seeing her again. So, I mean, I don't have any other questions, but
no, man, you're doing
tell me
good
what
job.
tell me what you took away from my platform. I'm always interested to hear that. You know, how do people perceive it? So, I would love to hear that, and then I can tell you a little more about it.
It really, really candid and very experienced as well. Like you're bubbly, but you have principles, which I think is the most important thing. You know, you're still being personable, but also advocating for things that are really important.
Okay. So, do you want me to talk a little bit about myself why I'm doing this?
So I was getting ready to do that. Let's talk a little bit about who Ms. Lou Ann Bird is.
Okay, well, I just got done playing soccer in the living room with my three little grandsons before I dropped them off at school. So that's a big part of my life is getting over to my daughter's house.
Wait a minute. Grandchildren?
Yeah. I have three lovely.
You sound like you're 22 years old.
Sometimes I have to keep up, you know. With a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 5-year-old, which they are, I keep telling them, they're my favorite grandsons.
Wow, and the fact that they're that old. So let's talk about Lou Ann Bird.
Sure, so that is what I do right now. I do get up every day and drive over to Tulsa from Hales Corners to take them to school because I've been doing that since Ryan was born. And my husband and I just decided I wouldn't go back to work at that point. It was 10 years ago. He's paralyzed, so I take care of him as well. And it's what I love to do,
so,
right?
So
you know, it's really take care of people.
So what did you do for
that's
living?
What I'm. Well, I was going to be a stay-at-home mom 32 years ago. And then my husband was paralyzed in a construction accident just 8 days before the Americans with Disabilities Act law was signed. He was still in intensive care when George Bush signed that law. And I saw that in the waiting room because I knew he was permanently paralyzed because he severed his spinal cord, and I knew he'd never walk again. Nothing was going to come back. So that's what was my life-changing event, and I ended up figuring out how to make things accessible. And the first event we went to at the kid's school, he's up on the playground, can't get into the event. We're all upstairs. Everybody else is downstairs. And I said, that's just not right. You know, he's got to be able to participate in these kids' education. So it took years. It took a couple of steps, like joining the League of Women Voters, getting on the school board, getting an Americans with Disabilities Act committee formed, and we got it, and I put it, you know, got it on the agenda, and then we passed referendums. This was in Oshkosh, and we ended up getting all the schools wheelchair accessible. I think there's still one, maybe it now is fixed, that needed an elevator on the inside. But when I started, there were four schools a wheelchair couldn't even get into. So that's where my life started. I ended up, you know, what did I do for work? Well, I ended up going back to school and getting a couple of degrees. And my first job out of college was executive director of the League of Women Voters. So I was down in Madison working in that crazy environment. It was crazy back then. I understand it's worse now. But that's what my first job was. And I got all the schools wheelchair accessible. When we needed sewer in the neighborhood, which happened during that time too, I got on the Sanitary District Commission and got the sewer installed because people's septics were failing. It was terrible for the environment. So I helped get that fixed. And then most of my career was, I really knew this about my, eventually figured this out. I was going to do something in analyzing and solving a social justice issue in an organizational setting, meaning with other people. So that's what I've done. Then I also worked for EdvoCap in the Fond du Lac area, Community Action.
So is it safe to say you're just a professional troublemaker?
Well, you know, I do like to ruffle some feathers on behalf of people whose voices aren't heard. Persons with disabilities, the environment, voting rights, disability, all of that, workers' rights, women's rights.
So yeah. you are exactly what is needed on the political stage. And, you know, I heard you talking about on behalf of people. And in a representative government, that's what we're missing. We have people in positions, but those people are not doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. So why now? Why did you make the decision now to run for office?
Oh, good question. You know, when my husband was paralyzed for 2 or 3 years, I was pretty miserable and didn't know what to do. And then when I figured out how, you know, the question wasn't, do they have to make things accessible? The question was, how can I help them? Well, then I wasn't so depressed or angry anymore because I was in there making the changes, creating the changes, taking action. So when I got the call, I got a call to run. I was really pretty happy in retirement, taking care of my kids and my husband. And they said they redrew the lines and put me in this district that was winnable and flippable. And I mean, I could have said yes immediately, but I said, you better come and talk to my husband. This is a family decision. And I said yes, you guys, because I was tired of the broken, divided, and ineffective political system that isn't working for us. And ever since I said yes, I mean, the energy is just there. It is so important, and it feels so good to be taking action towards something I care so deeply about, which is democracy, really. And if you go to my website, those were the words I wrote the very day I decided this is what I'm doing, you know, because a fringe group is threatening our democracy, and I want to do everything I can to change that. So I said this. I said I'm running on a civility platform because people are tired of the divide, and I didn't get anything done in my past without bringing people together to get it done. And as you kind of pointed out, it also means being a little assertive and making sure that these issues are on the agenda and getting to the places of power where we can change them.
So now,
Grandma Lou wants to go to Madison.
So what would you say to people who say, I love everything she's saying, but based on that you may be a little naive if you think you'll be able to bring a group of people together who have refused to even meet since last March, and won't be meeting again until after the new year.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I say they are right about one thing. I alone can't do it. It is going to take a cadre of people working. First of all, I tell people at the doors that I say, it's up to you. If you want civility, first of all, let's start with getting me elected. Vote for me because I am the change. And then I'm pretty optimistic that, well, first of all, let's put it this way. I've already seen changes in my circles of people jumping on the civility bandwagon. We do not need to tear someone down. We do not need to run on a fear platform. We need to run on a positive and a hope platform. And when we do, and when we're civil, when we, each one of us chooses to be civil, that's when the world starts to change. So it can't take one person starting it, and then it takes other people joining. Earl, I can't promise that I'll be able to get that divide in Madison to stop immediately. But I do think I can be part of a movement that can make it, make the change. And it's up to everyone listening to you to join me. It's up to all the voters that live in the 84th Assembly, which is, by the way, Hales Corners, most of Greenfield, half of Greendale, and a slice of Milwaukee that's north of, or south, I mean, of Oklahoma. So I'm optimistic that this political climate can change. And how we change it, I'm trying to bring people with me to the doors every day so I can show them how it works. Because that's how I got that Trump voter. I should probably tell you that story, right?
Yeah, so listen.
About the guy.
So do this. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll give you a chance on the other side. My guest is Ms. Lou Ann Bird. She's a candidate for the 84th Assembly District, State of Wisconsin. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. The Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Ms. Lou Ann Bird. She is a candidate for the 84th Assembly District. So let's talk, Ms. Bird, you know, about some of the things that, I mean, you're a change agent. There's no question about it. That's what you've done with your life and in your life. But let's talk about, as you've knocked on doors, what people think are the important issues that they want you to tackle.
Well, it is my favorite part of the job of running is really going to the doors and giving people hope because of the issues I hear about and how unhappy people are with the state of politics. They want things done, and then I show up and I say, well, you know what, we can change that, you know, and here's what I plan to do about it. I'm going to take everybody out to lunch when I get to Madison, you know, and build some relationships there, and maybe we'll start there. But what I'm hearing at the doors are some you know, very real concerns. I could tell new stories every day because there's new ones every day. But last week, I ran into a guy at the door named Tom, or his name was Thomas, and he told me his concern. He was a history buff. He was an African American, and he said this. He said, I just want the truth to be told in our schools, he said. America was stolen, and we were brought up to be slaves. And I just think that should be taught in our schools. To hear that from Thomas, that those words have not left my mind. And, you know, making sure that we protect public education. Because just 2 days before that, I met a family at the door, and their son, Charlie, has autism. He's 11 years old, and he's in the Milwaukee public schools. And Charlie was so sweet. It's so cool to meet the children that are in the school like that. And the mom was, you know, a strong advocate for kids with disabilities. But I couldn't help but think, again, about the importance of public education. And right now, there's people out there attacking it and throwing false narratives out about public schools and pitting parents against teachers. And if we do not protect our public education, then little Charlie is going to fall through the cracks because he cannot. The mom told me right out, he doesn't have a choice. He can't go to a different school. He has a disability. He has to stay in the public schools. So those are just a couple of the doors. And then I hit lots of women that put it right out there. They come running, you know, one chased me down last on Monday, I think it was. And she's like, are you Luann Bird? And you never know if you're going to get yelled at or what. But she said, I am so glad you're running. She says, I'm so concerned about women's reproductive health care and the freedom to choose our own, make our own choices when it comes to, you know, abortion and health care. Those are just a couple of the issues. Some of my favorite doors, though, are the ones where, you know, one guy will say, you know, what party are you? And I'll say, well, I'm running as a Democrat. I don't bring that up. I'm there to listen to people. I'm there to talk to people. I'm there to find out what they're concerned about. And then if they ask, sure, I'm happy to tell you a party. Because for me, it's about the people and it's about the issues. So anyway, you know, Republicans will say, I'm a Republican. Here, you might as well keep this flyer because, you know, I'm a Republican. And I said, well, wait a minute. Long as I'm at the door here, you might as well get to know me a little bit because when I represent you in Madison, I'm still going to take care of you, you know. So let's take a few minutes if you don't mind. I hate to tell you how many guys, women, and they've kept my flyer after that. Like the one last guy last week said, you've really made an impression on me because I talk about the broken, divided political system. And I can tell them this, that I am a fiscally responsible person and that I'm a Second Amendment rights person, not out to take guns away. And, you know, that's what I tell them. But early on in the campaign, I had a guy come around the corner. He's got a Trump hat on. And he's, I got to talk to him. He's right there. I mean, I just got to talk to him. And I hold up, which I'm fine. You know, I hold up my flyer and I laugh and I say, hey, I don't suppose you'd vote for a Democrat, would you? That's how I approached him. Bill was his name. And he goes, well, he says, you know, and he starts laughing and we start talking. And I said, well, what is it you like about Trump? And he's telling me, you know, he would clean out his sewer in his basement. And, you know, in other words, he was talking about that mess in Washington that he thought Trump was maybe going to, you know, take care of, which is why he supported Trump. Anyway, we got to talking about other issues and about his backyard. And I, you know, told him about my husband being paralyzed and I'm running on a civility platform because we can get along, we can solve these problems. And then he's telling me he's a recovering alcoholic and his life has been really pretty good. And he really doesn't like President Trump's tweets anymore. You know, he said that could have stopped it. So pretty soon he just saw the blue. He says, you know, Luann, he says, I can vote for you. And I said, well, thank you, Bill. And I start to walk away, and I turn around, and I go back, because I'm like, wait a minute. Bill, I said, no one's going to believe this. So can I get a picture of you with me for my Facebook page? And he goes, sure. And he put his arms out. You flipped me just like that. It was, and this was early in the campaign. And then, you know, I was thinking about that. What happened there is I think the labels fell off. I don't think it mattered whether he was a Republican and I was a Democrat, but he looked at me as a person, I looked at him as a person. And I think that's what's resonating with the voters. How much time do we have, Earl? I don't want to take too much time, but I do have another story
So hang on. We've got to go to a break. Yeah. We'll do one more segment on the other side. My guess is Ms. Luann Bird. She is a candidate for the 84th Assembly District. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Miss Luann Bird. She is a candidate for the 84th Assembly District. Luann, there was a story that you wanted to let the viewers, I mean the listeners here, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I want to say it's been great having coffee with all of you, you and your listeners. Just, I couldn't help but think about how we're all in this.
But anyway.
Oh, well, tea and coffee. We're all in this together, and the action, you know, providing a platform where we can think through these issues, and all of us think about what we need to do to change the political culture so that we can really take care of people. It's inspiring to me. So thanks for having me on and listening to all of you.
Well, you know what? All joking aside, you are refreshing, and so if we could get more people who are like you, who understand that. When you go, if you're sent to the assembly or, you know, or wherever you are, you know, Congress or Senate, that people understand it's really about the people, you know, and not about the individual. I mean, you have that. I hope and pray once you're elected, you never lose that. But, you know, it's, you know, I don't think, just judging by the few opportunities that I had to talk with you, I don't think you could ever lose that, because I think that's who you are. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, when you live with a paralyzed Vietnam veteran like I do, you know, and I have grandsons in public schools, and I have a daughter, you know, who needs her health care rights. I mean, every day look at the people that I'm surrounded with and that I love, I can't see ever wanting to not be a voice for the people, because that's what we are. We are the government. We are the ones that have the power to change it. Now, I am just one person, but I seem to be having an impact on other people, which is what you're saying, you know? So one more quick story. There was a guy that had this, he was on my list, Leon. I told Leon I'm talking about him. His picture's on my Facebook page if you want to go find it. So I go down this, he's got this long, winding driveway, and it's got, you know, keep out, no trespassing, all these signs. And I'm like, well, I'm a political candidate, no soliciting. You know, that's, you know, I'm going to take a chance here. So I go down this little, winding driveway in the middle of the city. Anyway, so he comes out, he sees me finally, and he comes out of his house, and he goes, "What are you selling?" Just like that. I said, "Well, I'm not," and I'm smiling now, you guys. I'm like, "Not selling anything. I'm a political candidate. I'm running for the assembly here, and you're in my district." He goes, "Are you running as a Republican or a Democrat?" And I said, "I'm running as a Democrat." "Well, I hate Democrats. I never vote for Democrats." And I'm like, "Well, wait a minute, you know, Leon, I'm a fiscally conservative, and I'm Second Amendment rights person, and, you know, I just think the political system's broken, and we should be doing more." And he goes, "Well, but I never vote Democrat." And pretty soon, like, he comes over by me, and we start talking. And I'm telling him about my husband being paralyzed, and, you know, and he kept using some four-choice letter words for Democrats. But we're having a conversation, and I'm laughing, and I'm smiling. I said, "Leon, I bet by the time we're done talking, you're going to at least think about voting for me." And he goes, "Never. I never vote Democrat." And then a little while later, I said, "You know, Leon," so then I'm telling him about my family, and he's telling me about his family. And then I said, "You know, Leon, you can cross over in the general election. I never vote Democrat," he says. But then we keep talking, and I kept kind of nudging him. I'm like, "Come on, Leon, come on." And so he finally says, "You know, if you got time, I would like my wife to meet you." So he takes me in the house, and now we're in the, you know, around the kitchen table, the island there, and we're showing pictures of our kids and our grandkids, and he leans over and he says, "You know," he says to her, "we can cross over in the general election." I thought, oh, Leon, you're so funny. So, you know, I left the door like, I'm going to bring my husband over. He's got to meet you, Leon. He's going to love you. You're going to love him. So he says, okay, and I left the door. I wasn't really sure he was going to vote for me, but I knew it. We had had fun. So about 2 months later, a couple weeks ago, I go back to Leon's, and I got a Choose Civility sign now. You guys, Choose Civility. And I'm bringing it down to his, you know, door, and I'm knocking on the door. I'm like, I got a gift for you. And he's laughing. He goes, well, thank you. I didn't know how he'd react. He loved it. And we talked for a long time again. He and his wife, he calls her, come on, you got to come and talk to Luann. She's here. And so then we go up to the end of the driveway. He's putting that sign up. And I said, Leon, now, are you thinking about voting for me now or not? You know, and he goes, oh, we already did. And then he goes on to use a few choice swear words about the Republicans and how they're not taking care of crime in the city. I laughed. So we put that sign up, and somebody takes it down. It's gone within a couple hours. So I was driving by there, so I put another one up. And pretty soon, next morning, that one's gone. So I put a third one up. And I'm driving by a little later, and there's Leon standing outside looking around. I'm like, and so I stop, and I go talk to him. He goes, somebody is taking my signs. And he says, I think I know who it is, because there's a Michaels and a, you know, sign and a Johnson sign, right, on both sides of him. And he goes, I think I know who's taking it down. I said, he got about three more, he says. So I give him three more signs. I mean, it's just so much fun to have people jump on board my campaign like that. And that, not just jump. Oh, and then I got to tell you this one more question. I flipped a street. There was a street, 116th. If you drive down that street right now between Layton and Colt Spring Road, it used to have a lot of Republican signs. Well, the guy at the very front of it had a Donovan sign. And then I, by the way, I'm running against Bob Donovan. And so you had this, but someone else tipped me off. You got to go talk to Steve, because if you talk to Steve, you know, you're going to get a lot of votes in that. So I go to talk to Steve. Turns out he's a Vietnam veteran, too. So is my husband. Within 5 minutes, he says, you know what, I'm voting for you. So I got Steve. So now Steve's got the bird sign. And you go down that street, there's 10 bird signs and only a couple Donovan signs.
Say, Luann, thank you.
Yeah.
And listen, you are a wonderful, wonderful spirit. You are the kind of person that we need in politics. And if we had you in politics, the politics would stop. So, you know, I am really honored to meet you, to have you on the air. Once you're elected, I'll make sure we bring you back on and let you talk about the changes that you're going to be making.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, God
That's
bless.
That's when I get elected.
God bless. Yeah, I said when you get elected. Yeah, so
yes,
God bless you and your family, and great story. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, you as well. Thank you.
That's Luann Bird, and she's a candidate for the 84th Assembly District. Just a wonderful, wonderful lady, and she may be too good for politics, you know? Welcome to my next guest, Pastor Greg Lewis. He's back. Good morning to you, brother. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Earl?
I got to be asking you that, man.
Man, I'm tired. No, we are, you know, working hard.
It's a stretch run, right?
Yeah, man. It's like from sunup to sundown and more. So, you know, it's got to keep the ground game tight.
You know, man.
We right there.
there are people who know the importance of the black community if they vote.
Right.
There are people who know that. And on both sides.
Yes.
And so everything that I'm looking at and reading and hearing, and I listen to conservative radio, they're afraid.
Well, they ought to be.
Because they're expecting a low turnout in our community, something that's unfortunately been a constant, and yet they know that there's something going on. They have their ear to the ground.
Yeah, that.
And somebody. Unlike, to be quite honest with you, man, and then I'll let you get into what you do. The Democratic Party many times takes our community for granted. They don't invest resources in it when it comes to these elections, and they just expect people to show up.
Absolutely.
But that's not the case this time around.
Right.
And so the other side of it is terrified, because they know if the black people in the city of Milwaukee turn out in any kind of numbers,
they can't win.
Tim, I'm a businessman. Michael's goose is cooked. Right. And Ron Johnson's goose is cooked. And from everything that I'm seeing and hearing, there's a great ground game going on, man.
The ground game is kind of tight, and people aren't expecting it. They don't even think there is a ground game. You know, yeah. I was hearing.
Well, the other side knows there is.
Not well, you know, but they don't think there's one. Listen, we're the only ones who don't understand our power, Earl.
Right.
I mean, you know, like you said, Democrats, Republicans, they understand the position that the community is in. We're the only ones who have not caught on to that, like, fire.
Right.
But it's getting closer to acknowledgement, trust me, you know, because we just keep working hard to let people know, man, you got this. You're the most important people in the world right now. You really are. You can make the difference. And, you know, there's a big fight in Philadelphia, and there's a big fight in Georgia, and there's a big fight here.
Yeah.
And people really don't understand their power. So that's why we have to continue this next 2 weeks to help them, you know, refine their minds to believe that they do have an existing power and they matter and count enormously.
So the reason that they have this power, or that we have this power, is that the white vote is divided down the middle.
Right down the middle.
Have Democrat, have. We didn't just get it. This has been a constant for decades.
Yeah.
That blacks and minorities are the ones who will determine who presidents of the United States are, who United States senators are, and who governors are. Who can have any more power than that?
Yeah,
politically.
Earl,
right?
I'm telling you, man, the state is like 80% white brothers and sisters. They're right down the middle. It's 20% minorities. They make the difference.
Right.
And even in the nation, you know, it's 61% white, you know, brothers and sisters, and 39% minority, man. We just don't understand our power. And even so, let's go a little bit further. You know, most of the white, progressive, and moderate voters aren't as excited. And that's what we have to get to. We have to get them excited again. We have over 200,000 voters who have left the process. We're knocking on those doors right now trying to get them excited again. That's big numbers, man. That's big, very big. And it's trouble for one of these parties.
Well, so let's say even in Milwaukee, when you look at the numbers in the last election, you know, presidential election and gubernatorial elections, Milwaukee was the determining factor.
Yeah, and you know what? Most of those people who came out and returned were our white voters, man. We got to make sure that we get them back and get black voters and Hispanic. Latinx, let me get that right. Latinx,
right.
And Asian voters back out with our red Indian Native American brothers and sisters.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. Reverend Greg Lewis is in the studio. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Pastor Greg Lewis of Souls to the Poles. And as we get closer, you know, Pastor Lewis, I keep calling you Pastor, Reverend, Doctor.
Greg.
So they have the enthusiasm is ramping up in our community.
It really is, man. People are getting excited, you know, and that brings up something we're going to have tomorrow. You know, we're going to have a concert with Jacob Lattimore and my grandparents. I don't even know who these people are, but young right. people know who they are. And then some local acts, and they're going to be coming out, you know, just trying to get a groundswell of youth to come out and vote, man. And they're excited. They've kind of kept coming in, man, and they're important, man. Generation Z is going to be very important, man. That now that you mentioned it, the excitement is in the air too, man. Everybody's calling, Earl. Them calling for rides right now.
So for those who don't know, Generation Z are the Zoomers.
Is that what they are?
That's
the Zoomers.
Yeah, called the Zoomers. And you know why they're called the Zoomers?
Why?
Because they have been born around technology.
Yes.
You know, from the inception.
Well, there's a whole book that everybody should read. You know, and the name of the book is Generation Z. You know, yeah. You should read that book. You know, and you know, I got it early. You know, a friend of mine, Mike Berkeley, Dr. Berkeley, gave it to me. He said, "Man, you got to read this book," and he was absolutely right. These young people are our future, and they're so bright, Earl. I keep saying, man, these people are so bright, but they just aren't being effective and organizing around the system. And that's what I think is going to happen with this Generation Z, man. They're going to be running things, Earl.
Well, yeah, because, you know, you're in my time. Everybody's time is limited.
Yeah, man.
Right? I don't care who you are. You know, the creator.
I'm tired, man.
Well, but the creator has made it such that everybody got a time.
Everybody's got a time.
I remember as a young 18
That's biblical,
year old,
you know.
Yeah.
There's a time for everything.
When I was 18 years old, I was going to change the world.
You were right.
I'm serious. I really did not want to conform, right? I did not want to conform to what I saw. And so I understand young people who don't want to conform to the way things are because— Because really, right now, the way things are, it does not benefit them. And so unless you teach them and get them to understand, you can't get them. It's a lot of work to get them to believe in voting.
Yeah, it is.
Because they don't believe that.
They just don't believe the system is fair, man.
Well, they know it's not, right? It's not what they don't believe. It's not like during your and my time when we were growing up. Where at least your parents, you know, had a fair shot and had decent jobs and opportunities, Pastor. But what we're talking about now is young people who don't have any opportunities whatsoever. You think they give a rip about the system? They know the system is not geared towards young people either.
Hey, man, your producer was right, too. You know, we're getting older, and, you know, we was talking about the name for the event tomorrow. You know, we were talking about hip-hop to vote. Right. They say, man, get out of here with that. Man, you too old, man.
No.
Say, don't try. So what we did finally was turn up the vote.
All right.
That's the young people. He was absolutely right.
Yeah.
And then now, I think he said something about turn up the vote or something like that.
I said youth out to vote.
Yeah.
But that works. It works. I like it.
Yeah, turn up the vote, man. So, you know, that's what we're doing tomorrow.
One of those
Hey, are you familiar with Jacob Lattimore and my grandparents?
I know Jacob Lattimore because he used to be on these Disney Channel shows when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I haven't. He's made some music since then. I haven't listened to it.
Did you hear what he said?
Yeah.
When he was a kid.
Yeah, right.
So Jacob Lattimore.
So Jacob Lattimore is in there.
Yeah.
But, no, he's not old. He's probably like 30s.
Yeah, he's a young. But what about my grandparents? Have you familiar with those guys?
No, I haven't. I thought you were saying your grandparents, as in yours.
No. Yeah, my grandparents. No, no, this is a young group that these people are really, you know, they're streaming to and everything.
No, so, I haven't. I haven't heard of them.
Yeah, listen. So and I like their music, too.
So I know you got to run, right?
Yeah, I got to run.
Yeah, okay. So listen, what do you want to say in the last couple of minutes before we get out of here?
Well, I want everybody to be aware that Sunday is Souls to the Pole Sunday. You know, and we're going to have the meetup in Midtown. And that's an early voting site from 10 to 3. And we want everybody to come out before or after church. And we want community to join us at the meetup, man. It's the meetup in Midtown, the Midtown meetup. That's what we're calling it. And we want you to be aware, young folks, man. Tell your young folks that there's a concert at Red Arrow Park from 4 to 7 on the 28th. That's tomorrow. Friday, and you know, we're going to turn up the vote there, you know, and you know, we're not going to hip hop the vote, we're going to turn up the vote, and we'd like people to come out, and while they're there, they can have VIP sections for folks who go over to the Zeidler building, vote, and then come over to the concert. The concert is right across the street from Red Arrow Park, and that's what we're going to be doing on tomorrow. And then Sunday is the Midtown meetup.
All right, Pastor, I'll see you then. I know you got to get out of here. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by State Representative Supreme Moore Amukunde. And Bill, I see. Oh, Bill, you can call back after the break. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.
Amen.